Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
To our training and podcast episode today, The Marriage Makeover, Three Simple Habits for a Happier Relationship. I'm Heather Choate with Mark Johnston. How's it going, Mark?
It's going well. How are you doing, Heather?
Doing really good. Had a fun day at the duck pond with my kiddos because it's finally warm enough.
Oh, really? It's been miserable in Colorado. Here it's gotten like super cold. I actually built a fire this morning in our fireplace.
Yeah. There's a big storm up there. Yeah. So we are excited to share this with you. Our podcast here is The Thriving Marriage. We're on episode 155, and we have helped tens of thousands of couples now with this proven method. What I'm really excited about, Mark, is that we talk about the thriving marriage, and more often than not, we're talking about how to stop a divorce, right? So today we get to go a little more into how to have that thriving marriage and a happier relationship, no matter where you are at in your relationship. So before we get to that though, we're going to share a client win of the week. This one comes with permission from Farron. I'm going to share this one. He says, "We, my wife and two daughters, sat in front of my house for about 45 minutes, having a great time, telling stories and tons of laughter. When they left, I came inside thanking our father for his hand in this. I'm seeing the woman I married." Farron shared his story with us on our podcast a couple years ago, actually. And his wife was like dead set on divorce, would not talk to him, was not willing to work on things with him. And so to have these really, wow, I don't know what that sound was. Okay. This is live. So I don't know what technology is beeping at me, but it's just beautiful to see examples like this and clients that we've worked with that went from on the verge of divorce to truly creating a relationship where they both really love it.
Yeah. I remember working with Farron. It's such a unique name. I was like, oh, I remember that guy. And it's like, I know when we left off, things were heading in a generally good direction. It's not everything was 100% settled yet, but so I'm just glad that the trajectory kept going. And so good to hear that he's still active in our community and sharing some wins. I was really pleased to see this. I didn't even like register the name when I was going over the notes earlier. So yeah.
So if you guys would like to hear his episode of how he turned his marriage around earlier on in the process, just leave a comment, say marriage turnaround, and I'll send you the link to that podcast episode so you don't miss it. You can also see it right here on our YouTube channel as well. So if you're watching us live, let us know that you can see and hear us okay. We are streaming to like 5 different platforms all at the same time. So I want to make sure that everything is coming in loud and clear for you guys. And let me know where you're at in your relationship. Do you feel like things have been good, but maybe not great? Do you feel like you're stuck in friend mode? Or are you like most of our audience where things are pretty dire? Your spouse is pulling away, having an affair, wanting a divorce, on the verge of collapse. Okay. Let us know where you're at with that. And then I want you guys to answer this question as well and put your answer in the comments about what habits do you think support a happy relationship? And how can you create those now, no matter where you might be in your relationship? We also asked this to our Facebook group and we got a good variety of responses here. Mark, what were some of the commonalities that you saw?
Well, I'm seeing, now I wrote my own comments on this because that's the topic of today, is like habits for a healthy, happy marriage. I'm seeing some similar ideas, but see some themes of open communication as a big one. I'm seeing several comments on that. Other ones talking about like really making the marriage a priority, or essentially like, you know, that's another way of saying, when they're saying set a date night every week, it's another way of saying that. But yeah, certainly some themes around like making the marriage a priority and communication are big ones.
Absolutely. And I think you guys are nailing that with this. The habits that Mark and I are going to share with you guys, we have hard won them over years and years and years of our own relationships, having their ups and downs. I've been married 17 years, Mark. I know you've been married a little longer. And so we found these to be true, not only in our own marriages to help them be healthy and strong and functional, but also in the tens of thousands of couples that we've now helped not only save their marriage from divorce, but to create a relationship they actually like, a relationship that they want to be in long-term that feels fulfilling. It's not free of challenges. And that's one of the habits we're going to talk about. So make sure you don't miss habit three at the end here, because it's really, really important. Challenges and differences and arguments are still going to happen. It's really what you do about them. One thing I really love in general about habits is that they do define us. Like, we are creatures of habit. It's just kind of how our brains are wired, and we're programmed to try to take the path of least resistance. And there are certain studies that show that like 90% of the things we do are the exact same things that we did the day before. And that most of what we're doing is just kind of on autopilot. So if you feel like you're not getting great results in your marriage, in your life, you might want to look at some of your habits that are creating those results for you, because those habits are like the building blocks that create your experience. And when you start to change some of your habits or improve some of your habits, you start to get some very better results. So let's dive right in. Mark, the first habit for a happier relationship. Oh, we lost your audio. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. I had a technical issue there. I had to mute myself because I was trying to look at the comments and the audio was playing from our broadcast. Anyways, the first habit is protect your marriage from other good things in your life. Like I said before, like this is making your relationship a priority. And I worded it like this on purpose, because I don't think anyone ever sets out to say, you know what, my marriage isn't that important. I don't want my relationship to be a priority. That's not what anyone says. It's more often that there are so many good things in life that might be a bit more of a squeaky wheel, as in it's calling our attention a bit more. And so more and more our focus starts to go in other directions. I'm thinking a lot, especially earlier on in relationships, the big, like, Heather, you know, I think everyone's aware of like these big things that tend to take our focus. These are things like focusing on the career and making money. These are things like our children needing attention. Sometimes we want to get some better education. We need time for ourselves or time for friends. I know in my family, like, we're even having some stuff like that popping up. Like, as my older kids are starting to become teenagers, I kept thinking, oh, they'll be able to take care of themselves more. And I'm learning more and more that just the attention is different. So my wife and I are having to have this discussion, like, how do we make sure that we are taking care of these, you know, our kids, something very important, and be able to have time for each other. So very relevant to me, at least this topic today.
I agree. Right now, oh my goodness, I'm teaching a teenager to drive, soon to be two, and I'm potty training a toddler. I was just looking at like my life right now. And these are good things. I've even seen hobbies or sports, you know, just really good positive things can become like they take over your life, you know? And so they start to take away some of the focus from the relationship. I'm thinking of one particular couple. I'm not going to, of course, call them by name, but they let wrestling take over their lives, and their children's, they were both involved in wrestling, and he was a coach, and that's what their whole life was about, was wrestling. And they had no time for each other because they were constantly at practices, and their weekends were taken up by traveling everywhere for the kids' sports and for him coaching. And then she was on helping with the coaching too, somehow. It was just like their whole life revolved around this one thing, and it crowded out their space for their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've seen that, like, sports, kids' sports, it really can take up a lot of time. And especially if you multiply that with multiple kids who are involved with sports, like, my kids aren't even all that super involved with their extracurricular activities. But when you start multiplying that by a few kids, you know, most every evening is going to be occupied with something. My opinion on this is, like, it seems to me that very few people are going to regret, like, maybe a friendship that died off some 10, 15 years ago. Like, maybe there's some good friendships, but very few people will say that they wish they spent more time with work. You know, like, all these little things that tend to occupy our time and take the attention away from the relationship, in the long run, aren't really that super consequential. Like, yeah, it's nice to have a good lifestyle and a successful career, but ultimately I think that there's going to be a lot more regrets when relationships fail. It's my opinion. I'm a little bit old-fashioned there, but
I saw a clip on YouTube about someone that had been at the bedside of over 200 elderly people as they were at the end of their life, and the things that they learned from them and the regrets that they had were always about time not spent with people, or relationships that were not healed, or failing to say I love you or I appreciate to someone important in their life. It was never, I wish I made more money, I wish I went on more vacations, I wish I spent more time at work, or my kids went to more soccer games. It was none of those things. And having had an experience very near to death myself, where I was like, given a 5% chance at making it, and looking at, like, you know, I had this vision where I had my own funeral, right? It was a dream that came to me and I saw my own funeral. And that just woke me up to what really matters most in life. And that was a gift, I believe, was given to me at a very young age of only 29 to help me realize those things that you are spending most of your time doing and obsessing and worrying about are not the things that really matter. And so make sure that you're making the most of the time that you have right now. And these relationships need to be nurtured and they need to be protected. So protecting your marriage is very much about helping you guys both feel like you are a priority. So your husband or your wife needs to feel like a priority, and you need to feel like a priority as well. And this really helps a couple develop a sense of us, right, versus the world. Like, we're in this together. We have this connection, we have this foundation, almost like a shield around you versus like the rest of the world. And there are certain things, like we've talked about, that can really threaten that. One thing I also want to throw in before we go into what to do to protect it is also protecting it from other family members. Sometimes you have to protect it from other love interests or romantic interests or friendships that are maybe, you know, too involved or uncomfortable for both partners. And sometimes it can be extended family members or in-laws, even your own children. We talked about that. So just anything that gets in the way of that feeling of us, of that unity, is something that you want to examine and maybe look at, like, how can we prioritize us a little more?
So what do we do to get this going? Because, like, it's really easy to say, well, this is a nice habit. I think with each of these, I'd like to at least come to some simple first steps, right? I know for my wife and I, where we really started to make this more of a thing in our relationship is we started basically, we said to each other, okay, after a certain, like, time each night, we're no longer parents. Like, we're going to have a very hard line and we're not going to deal with kid issues after this time. Now, I'll have to admit, like, that was some years ago. And as our kids have gotten a little bit older, my wife and I probably need to revisit this because the kids are staying up a little bit later. And, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. But I do think that, like, having very clear boundaries or having, almost harsh, and maybe harsh is the wrong word, but very firm boundaries around the time that you have together is very important. This might mean date nights. It might mean specific time that you have each other just on a regular daily basis, which I think is a good idea. But whatever you need to do to create, like, these walls around the time that you and your spouse have together is, I think, a really good first step.
I agree. And so I'm just going to ask you guys to leave a comment here of how much do you feel like you are giving time and energy to your relationship each day, each week? How much time do you feel like your spouse is? How much time do you feel like you are? Do you feel like a priority to your spouse? Do you think that your spouse feels like a priority to you? And Mark, I had to laugh because I remember several years ago, you said it on this podcast about the, this is not, I'm no longer your parent after 8 p.m. That stood out to me so much because it was so clear in a kind way, like I'm here for emergencies, but we need our time, you know? And that really stood out to me of a powerful example that we can actually give to our children about the importance of this relationship. Yes, they're important, but kids can be little energy vampires and just suck the life out of us if we let them. But tangent here, but studies have also shown that kids feel more secure with boundaries than without boundaries. So they might kick and scream initially, especially if they're not used to boundaries, but it's really healthier for them and it's healthier for the entire family. And so, yes, we need to protect our relationship from our own children at times. And one of my mentors told me that, you know, just take 15 minutes a day to put down all distractions and have a really deep, meaningful connection. What I noticed Ben and I were doing, kind of our habit, was that we would say, like, put the kids to bed and then we'd go watch a show. And that was fine. It was like fine to decompress, but I felt like we weren't really like getting, I don't know, I just felt a lack of connection. And so, yes, we still will watch a show once in a while, but that 15 minutes of putting down the phones, so neither of us are checking email or Facebook or text messages or whatever, we're actually looking each other in the eye, because eye contact is what builds a lot of trust and connection and intimacy. And like really listening to each other is so much better than even if you have hours spent just doing kind of a, you know, meaningless distraction together. So that 15 minutes a day is really important to me. Now my husband is gone traveling 18 days out of the month, but we still make an effort to have that 15 minute of a conversation on FaceTime if we can, so we can have that eye contact and making sure we really connect and check in with each other. And that helps us be able to understand what's going on with the other person, get to know the other person, identify if there's any needs or things that we can do to support each other, to show some appreciation, to laugh about something funny. I mean, we're always laughing. The kids always do like the most hilarious things. And my husband's a prankster, even at 40,000 feet in the air, he's still pranking people. So it's just really joyful to be able to have that time. And it feels secure to me to know that I am a priority to him and that he's a priority to me and that we do make that time sacred. And then we also prioritize the regular date night as well. And date night are not, this time is not meant to discuss business, go on errands, don't talk about the kids, don't talk about money, don't talk about plans. This is a time to like relax and enjoy each other's company. Think about the kind of dates that you went on when you were dating, kind of like get to know you almost dates, because your spouse is not the same person that you married. They're not. They're not the same person that you married 15 years ago or whatever. They're a different person now. So get to know them, show some interest in them. That's going to reignite that spark between you guys and help you really understand who they are.
I think like another just easy step to take, like, I think it's easy for say you and me to say, go out and date nights, carve this time, maybe a little bit harder to actually take that initiative. But I think an even simpler step is just to sit down with your partner, have a conversation with them about what would help them to feel like a priority, and then take some simple actions to make that happen. Like, I'm a big advocate for like really making the other person feel heard. So like I generally, when I'm working with clients, I'll tend to suggest like go in first and have that first conversation, focus on the other person, and then come back, you know, another time and say, hey, look, now I want to have this conversation about myself and like what I need to feel like a priority. But, you know, whatever works for the two of you. I think this is a very simple step that can be taken. Like most people can commit to a conversation or two about priorities. As long as there's some follow-up, I think this would be a really great place to start.
Yeah. Now I want to just put a note in here that Mark and I are talking about a generally healthy, more stable relationship with these kind of conversations. We're not talking about being on the verge of divorce and having major affairs and no communication. So with that being said, we always want to make sure we solve problems in order. If you're pushing for a lot of time with your partner right now and they're pulling away from you, again, that's going to backfire. So you want to make sure that you're applying the right, I guess, habits or actions, the right behaviors at the right stage of your relationship. But Mark, I have seen even couples that were really struggling be able to still communicate this idea that you're important to me, your happiness is important to me, this relationship is important to me. And I've seen couples that were even struggling change some of their priorities to demonstrate that they were listening to their spouse and understanding where their spouse was coming from. And so no matter what stage you might be in, there are still principles that you can take from this, but you need to make sure that you're doing them at the right time. So that's why Mark and I are here. We coach you one-on-one on how to navigate through the different stages and make sure that what you're doing isn't backfiring. I can easily see someone listening to this and be like, okay, I just got to go show her. I'm going to spend more time with her and prioritize her. And then she's just like, you know, cause it's not the right time. So yes, you want to do the smaller bids for connection, the smaller bids for prioritizing things. If you're in one of the, you know, more dire states of a relationship. All right. With that being said.
I think this is a good segue into that second habit, which is developing a positive story. Because like Heather was describing there are some circumstances where a spouse might not be receptive to like a lot of action where they would be made a priority. Like they're not going to be accepting of date nights or like one-on-one time together. Even still, I think developing a healthy story, you can mostly implement this at just about any stage, even if like they are a little bit resistant to those things. I do think that healthy couples are ones that actively build up a positive image of each other and the relationship, because it's a fact. Pretty much every relationship is going to have some problems, and it's a big deal and how that couple ends up like describing those problems. It can make a world of difference to say, okay, we're having this problem and my wife doesn't care because she didn't ask me about my day this morning. And so therefore, you know, like this, like there's absolutely no love. Like we could take that very same situation and we could say, oh, we're having this problem. My wife didn't ask me about how my day was. It's probably because she's stressed. And, you know, if I actually sat down and talked with her, she probably would sit down and listen to me and about like my concerns. Like it's a very different, all that internal monologue about describing what's going on. And that internal monologue, those beliefs that are behind it, it's so crucial, I think, to having a very healthy relationship. I don't know, like, what do you think, Heather? Like, what kind of stories are important to build within a relationship?
Oh, so I have to laugh about this one because like you said, it applies to all the stages of your relationship, no matter where you are at. And I have really struggled with having a positive view of Ben and having a positive view of myself or the relationship. And so if you can relate to that, leave a comment, let me know what's going on for you. But even this morning, I was working through something that happened yesterday. There was a boundary that I was wanting to set with an extended family member, and it didn't feel like Ben was supportive. It felt like he kept trying to push me to not have that boundary and kind of justify what this extended family member was doing. And so that I was working through that at around 5 a.m. and I was looking at this exact thing. Like I could describe the problem as Ben cares more about this other person, the extended family member, than he does about me. He's always trying to manipulate me. And like, I'll be honest, there's some thoughts that are still there. So I have to be the one that checks those assumptions. And I have to look at, okay, is there another way of looking at this? Okay, I could look at this that Ben really loves for people to get along. He really hates contention. He really wants to have everyone feel good and safe and happy about things. And so rather than him siding with this person, I could see it as he's actually trying to build a bridge. He's trying to see if there can be a compromise made. For me, there is not a compromise that can be made in this situation, but I can start to describe his part in this with good intent. And I can go back to the truths that I know, that Ben loves me, that Ben is supportive of me, and that he's there for me instead of he doesn't care. So I can still easily get swayed. And so I have to be very mindful of what I put on him. Now, I know that some of you are like, well, my husband, like, he really doesn't care. He doesn't respect me. He doesn't listen to me. Like, you're talking about how Ben is there for you. Well, he's not there for me. He's cheating on me, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is where you get to create the new story. And this is the way that we get to describe the relationship that we want to see and build a new reality for the relationship. And it might seem delusional, okay? It might seem delusional. You're like, he's doing this. He's sleeping with another woman. And you're saying, Heather, just create the story that he loves me and I'm safe and secure. Yeah, I am saying that. it doesn't make maybe logical sense, but the more that you focus on the wall, like remember the race car driver, the more you focus on the wall and the things that you don't want, the more you're going to get them in your relationship because you feed that story, you add more to it. You get more upset, makes him more defensive. The same patterns that created the situation in the first place continue, or they actually get worse and worse and worse and make an even bigger negative story. That's what most people do. So what Mark and I are saying is focus on where you want to go. Focus more on what you're wanting to create and have than what you're wanting to avoid and what you don't want, because there's power in that. And we've seen people do this. And it's amazing when you get to the place where you're like, I know that they're doing that, but I also know where I'm going and I know what I'm going to create in the relationship. And you take ownership of what you're creating about the story and the story that you are telling. So I think this is a really powerful principle and it applies to everyone, no matter where you are. I did see a comment here in the Facebook group. What if you communicate about feelings, she's asking, and he thinks that it's just being mad or acting defensive when it's hardly not that. It feels like not listening and connecting. And so now this is where we get to see like your husband has a story about you, that when you share your feelings, you're mad and he gets defensive about it. And you probably also have a story as well. He's not listening. He's not connecting. He's not understanding. And so then you continue to play out that same pattern. What Mark and I help you do is to identify what that pattern is and to change it, interrupt that pattern. So then you can start to create the new story.
I think like with, you know, Leanne and the comment there, and, you know, if we have to apply this to this habit, I think it would be fairly easy to develop more of a story of like, hey, we want to build up a situation where we can share some feelings. Like that's a story that you can build. Like maybe you're not there right now. And you know, like my approach to this is I don't want to have the story that's being built like this. You're using the word delusional. I actually try to steer away from things that are like inherently just untrue. Yeah. But there's a lot of wiggle room in there. And there's a lot of wiggle room in how you interpret things. So like for Leanne, it would be about like, okay, we want to build up better communication. And then it becomes easy to then have follow-up questions, be like, okay, how do we share feelings and not create this defensiveness or not like not have this situation where you think that I'm mad at you? You know, having that conversation then allows for there to be a lot of solutions. Because if the story is we want to have this open communication, we want to be able to support each other, we want to be able to share our feelings, if that's the story that you are trying to build, then a lot of the solutions flow from there.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. That's a lot more what we do. And that's a lot more what I do as well, is starting small with saying like there's safety in communicating. It feels really good to understand each other. It feels really good to understand where my spouse is coming from. So, comment for you guys, what kind of story do you want to have in your marriage? What story do you each want to actively build within your marriage? And Mark, you have some simple steps here to kickstart this habit.
Yeah. So I think a good place to start is like really getting clear on what you are wanting for yourself within the relationship. Like if I have to give some examples, I know one of the things that I tried to build for my own self within my marriage with Jennifer, I really try to build up this idea of feeling heard. I want to make sure that Jen and I can share feelings and that the other person is able to listen. Like, yes, some of that involves my wife, but we'll get to that in a second. But it's important to at least come up from a, like this base of understanding what I'm actually wanting. Sometimes Heather and I talk about this, like being about being clear with your requests. But I think a lot of people go into these sort of situations and are a little bit nebulous with what they want. So part of this can be just like having clear definitions of those wants and desires. So if like, I want to feel respected. Okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? And you know, what kind of actions might be taken? What kind of things would I be saying differently? And things like that. So once you are clear on your request, it can be important for you to decide on some actions that you yourself can do to help support this story. And then whether your partner is going to be participating or not, depending on how healthy the situation is, I would still recommend sharing your plan with your spouse. So for example, if you want to build up that idea of respect, you might say, okay, respect means that we're not going to swear at each other during arguments, which was actually something that I was just talking about with a client earlier today. So part of that might mean, you know, on my end, if that's the story that I want to build, like I want to respect each other and we have some boundaries around language. Okay. That means on my end, I'm going to hold my partner accountable. I'm going to call them out a little bit in a gentle way when there is some inappropriate language, when they are escalating things beyond what is appropriate. And I'm going to then you would tell, you know, your partner saying, okay, hey, look, just letting you know, this isn't okay. I want to really build up some respect in our relationship. I might call you out a little bit, but it's mostly because I want for interactions to go smoother. So being clear with requests, deciding on some actions that you can take for yourself, sharing your plan, I think is a good way to start.
Agreed. I like that a lot. For me, I was like, my story I wanted to create was, at first I wanted passion and fun and like this deep connection. And of course I still want that. And that is there, but more often than not, it's like, I just want safety in the relationship. And so I would think about like, okay, what are some things I can do to create more safety? Because I don't feel very safe here. And I know Ben doesn't. And when he pulls away, I know it's because he doesn't feel safe and he doesn't want to open up and share. And I would like a relationship where we can open up and share. If you're having a hard time thinking about the story that you want to create, just think about the things you don't like and then find their opposite. If you don't like that they're cheating on you, I want a trusting, secure relationship. If you don't like that they're, you know, volatile and angry and defensive, I like that communication can be open and secure and honest, right? So as I thought about, I want to create safety, especially around Ben sharing, then what are some actions I could take? Well, when he does share, I'm going to make that rewarding. I'm going to let him know that I appreciate that he shared. I'm not going to get, you know, into the pattern of immediately getting defensive about whatever he just said. I'm going to listen to understand, right? I'm going to try to have some empathy and put myself in his shoes. And so creating those actions is what helps to create that new story. All right, let's go to the third one. And this one is about, remember I said, everyone's going to need this one. So better pay attention. This one is keeping communication open. Yes. Every single couple I've ever asked, no matter how long they've been married or how happy they are, I ask, what's the one thing you feel like you could do to improve your marriage? It's always communication. It's always communication because we need to be able to do two things, right? As a couple, we need a clear avenue to discuss issues, different topics, and get support for those wants or those needs. And we need a clear avenue to discuss concerns and get support for those solutions. And because men and women are different and we have different personalities and you and your spouse have different communication styles, it's really important that we get to a place where we can understand each other and we can have open feedback and open dialogue to be able to share and feel safe about it, as well as to address any underlying issues.
Yeah, I'm thinking once again, back to Leanne's comment, she was saying, okay, well, what if you communicate about your feelings and thinks it's you being mad? I would say here is like a prime example where these avenues for sharing things are not very clear. Like they're like, sure, maybe on the surface, the couple might say, yeah, we can talk about anything, maybe. But like, here's this very clear obstacle to being able to share some deeper things that need to be discussed. I can only make assumptions here with Leanne's situation, but if it's being perceived as mad, I'm going to assume that there's some complaints or concerns that are being brought up, or some more negative feelings that Leanne is wanting to be resolved. There needs to be a clear way to do that within the relationship. Otherwise, we get the situation where, you know, like either one, it turns into an argument and escalates and it blows up and probably doesn't get resolved, or two, the situation gets avoided and eventually swept under the rug. And in either case, given enough time, that's going to cause the relationship to deteriorate. Similarly, like that whole thing was just about discussing problems. Similarly, if you keep coming to the relationship and say, hey, I need this, I need to feel a little bit more connected, I want to feel a little bit closer to you, I want to feel like we can accomplish some goals together, and you keep getting shut down, or there keeps being like, nah, let's not talk about anything serious, let's just have some fun. Like if there's this continual dismissal, that's going to really develop into a situation where like there's just increased distance. Like, this is going to be the situation where you have that I love you but I'm not in love with you, or like where you just drift apart and you feel like roommates if given enough time. So we need avenues for both those things. Thoughts, Heather?
Absolutely. And that's what really creates that like healthy functional relationship that we're talking about. And so just imagine what it would feel like to have a relationship where you can go to your partner about anything, right? And you know that there will be respect, there will be openness, there will be follow through. You know, I don't know about you, Mark, but I can't think of anyone who wouldn't want that. We all want to feel accepted for who we really are and to feel safe enough to share anything. And I know that that's a big part of what you and Jen have created in your relationship. And I am working to create that as well. Working through some of those barriers to that openness. But the more that we communicate that it's safe to share, it's safe to let me know how you're feeling, it's safe to express how you're really feeling, it's safe to give me feedback, right? And we work together on that, then that creates that new story around communication and in the relationship itself. So let's talk about now some simple steps that we can take to start on this habit.
Sure. I think some very good first steps is simply to invite your partner to say whatever they want about the relationship. Now, your role in this conversation is to respond simply by listening and asking questions to get better understanding. I would really recommend that for this first time, that you have no other objective for yourself. You're trying to invite the other person to open up. So be curious about like some of their wants and needs, be curious about some of their concerns, and just ask questions. Why I'm suggesting that you give a lot more focus on your partner rather than like trying to balance that out, at least this time, is because I'm assuming that if this is a difficult situation for you, that if you're needing to build this habit up, then something is preventing the two of you from having this communication flow. And I would say, you know, if you're in the spot where you're researching how to make your relationship better, I'm going to assume that you're probably in a little bit better position for me to ask you to go first and to take some action that might be a little bit uncomfortable. I always find that it's a little bit easier to balance it out or ask for some things in return when you've offered it first. So rather than saying, okay, hey, look, I'm going to sit you down and you need to listen to me, and I want you to just understand what I have to say, it's much more likely you're going to be running into some resistance rather than if you go to your partner and say, hey, look, things have been rough and I want to understand what it is that you're looking for. And all I want to do is ask some questions. I don't need this to be about me this time. I can guarantee you that unless things are really, really bad in terms of communication, that your partner is much more likely to open up with a invitation like that.
Right. And that goes to our PATH method, which is all about like getting perspective. And the first steps that we want to take is taking the pressure off, right? Having no agenda and really trying to understand where they're coming from. And as you do that, your partner is going to feel heard They're going to feel more respected. They're going to feel like, wow, he or she actually is trying to understand me now. And it can be challenging to break through some of those patterns, especially if you have a habit of getting very defensive and kind of blaming them or putting it back on them and getting really riled up by what they're saying. But this invitation here to allow your partner to say whatever they want about the relationship can be immensely healing. It's going to be kind of ugly for many people and many marriages because it's kind of like draining a wound. My daughter just got an abscess 2 weeks ago and it was gross and it had to be lanced and drained before it could get better because the infection was not going to come out on its own. And so it's kind of like what this invitation is to like, let's get the yuck out so that we can start to heal what's going on underneath instead of continually sweeping it under the rug or pretending it's not there or them avoiding it, you avoiding it, or blowing up into something bigger. It's a really powerful practice to get into, to really invite your spouse to share and to try to understand their perspective. It's what's going to help open that door. I see a comment here, Nicholas made, I can't get past the wall. I'll try to communicate, but she never replies to anything. So if you relate to what Nicholas is saying, comment 7 conversation starters. That's kind of long. Just comment the number 7 and I'll know what you're talking about. We have a 7 proven conversation starters guide that works for any stage of a relationship, but especially if they're giving you like just like one word answers to help get the conversation going, to help them feel safer to open up. It's going to be a bit of a process, but the more you create safety around communication, the more willing they're going to be to communicate in the future. 7. Awesome. Got it. 7. I will send you guys that guide right after the masterclass, or not after masterclass, the podcast. That's what we're doing. Awesome. Any final thoughts on keeping communication open, Mark?
Where did I go? I'm opening up different windows looking at, okay, there we are. You know what? I think we've gone over this as much as we can today, but all I want to say is, you know, with each of these, one of my purposes in talking about some of this, you know, with each habit, we were talking a little bit about where can you start? And that's the final thought I want to leave you all with is, no matter where you are at with your problems, with your relationship, even if things are going really well, you know, no matter where you're at in the spectrum, there's always like a next step that you can work towards to make things better. So like for my wife and I, we're doing pretty good. We have some good communication. We have some good connection. And even still, like there's occasionally we'll have conversations where like, we really appreciate how things are. We can still talk about where we want things to be better. If things are going poorly, there's always a next step, even if it's something small. So I want you to keep that in mind. I mean, this is specifically what Heather and I focus on in a lot of cases, is like finding that next little step to move the needle a little bit so that we can then take another little step and another little step and keep that progression going till the point that we can actually get the other partner involved in wanting to fix things. So
love that. So if you want more help from us, comment breakthrough and we will send you a link or have a private conversation with you over in Facebook Messenger, wherever you are, on whatever platform you are. We'll make sure we get you that link so that you can have a one-on-one conversation with us on how we can help you get from where you are to where you want to be in your marriage. And this process works even if they're on the verge of divorce, even if they're saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, they're having an affair, multiple affairs, or you're currently separated. So just comment breakthrough and I will get that to you guys as well. All right. Lastly is our marriage mythbuster, which is happy couples never argue or disagree. I've also heard a different reiteration of this one. It's kind of like, if we're arguing or disagreeing, then something's broken and wrong and our marriage is like over. So, Mark, what is your take on this myth?
So I can see where this comes from. Like, no one really wants a relationship where there's a lot of arguments. Even further, my observation is that early on in relationships, it actually is pretty normal for a couple to almost never have disagreements or arguments. I don't know about you, Heather, but like, when I was first married, that first year or so, I don't think Jen and I really fought a whole lot. We had plenty of time to focus on each other. We didn't have as many responsibilities. We didn't have any kids. Things were pretty good. But I think that's, I'm not going to say that's 100% like all couples, but I do think that like this is a little bit where that myth comes from, is because there tends to be this period where there is a lot less or very little or perhaps even no arguments at all. And I think a lot of that is what helps us to like really build that relationship up, and why we can create that deeper relationship is because there's almost all good on that early stage.
In that early stage, I'm just going to point out, they're usually doing all three of those habits we just talked about. They're prioritizing each other. There's a high amount of attention on each other. They have a positive view of each other, a positive view of the relationship, and they have open communication. So again, reiterating the power of those three habits.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that's the case. I could go into that at length. You know, it has a lot to do with, you know, it's harder to have arguments when there's not as much depth to the relationship. Beyond that, the what I call a reward cycle, there's a very quick reward cycle of like, I'm going to share something and I'm rewarded by it. I'm going to go a little bit deeper, I'm rewarded by it. Like that tends to be a quicker cycle in the early stages. But anyways, not the point here. Over time, it's inevitable that couples will find reasons to disagree. And this is not like a problem. This is just what happens. It's really hard to have a big blowout argument about the dishes if we don't live together. Like, what is there to argue about? Or it's hard to have an argument about how you're raising your kids when you don't have kids. So like as you as the couple progresses and there's more and more ties, there's more and more little things that are bringing you together and the relationship deepens, it actually is, it is easier to see all the differences that that are there, that were always there, just never came up. So the important piece is how the couple approaches disagreements and what the outcome ends up being. That's much more important than whether arguments exist. Because like even Gottman, like the big name Gottman talks about like different relationship types. And one of the stable relationship types is this volatile relationship where two people are volatile. And why is that a stable relationship? Is because, yes, the arguments might be volatile, but the outcomes are generally positive. Usually those kind of couples end on really passionate, positive notes. So like generally speaking, intense arguments can be okay as long as in the end, everyone is feeling that their position is considered and heard. It's even better, though, when each person's side of the argument can be openly expressed and considered. Now, remember how we were just talking about a little bit ago, how it's good to encourage feedback and maybe even complaints when we're talking a little bit about like in terms of keeping communication open. It turns out that couples that never argue or disagree, in my experience, tend to be the ones that do not have healthy ways to discuss differences. On our end, if a client is telling me that there were never arguments, my immediate thought is that, okay, there's something off here. I immediately become curious whether one of the partners is maybe pushing down some feelings or maybe sweeping concerns under the rug. And usually that suspicion is confirmed in some other ways. So basically what I'm getting at here is really the myth of happy couples never argue or disagree is it's actually the complete opposite. I would expect happy couples to have healthy ways to argue and disagree. That's the much better situation rather than never arguing or disagreeing.
Yeah. Beautiful. Love it so much. Thank you, Mark. And thank you all for joining us today. Comment what you learned and what habits you're going to create. If you identify that some of your habits and patterns are not creating a great result for you, what are you committed to change right now? What is an action step that you can take in the next 24 hours to be able to move your relationship towards a healthier and happier direction? All right. Next week, we're going to share with you unpacking the I hate you bomb and why your spouse might say it and what it actually means. This one's going to surprise you. We're excited to share it with you. So thank you for joining us today again. And thank you, Mark. We cannot wait to see your marriage thrive.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.